The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
We're never going to be perfect, but I don't think that God's looking for perfect. Look at the heroes of the Bible. None of them were perfect. But what did they have in common? They were willing. They were willing to put it on line for Jesus. They were willing to accept their mission. They were willing to go. And I think we have to be willing. And I believe God can use us wherever we are, with whatever we have, with wherever He's placed us.
Football champion Tim Tebow challenges us to go create a life that counts. Next on Life Today.
I can't tell you how excited I am to be in your home or wherever you're watching right now. James Robinson, Betty, welcome to Life Today. One of the people I respect as much as anybody on the planet is our guest today. Now, Tim Tebow, here it is. And by the way, Tim, I know you're listening and watching. This is a phenomenal cover. Yes. And I notice you're built just like me. I'm 78, but I love the way you're built. I should have worn my shirt like you. But, hey, we welcome you to the show, man. It's great to have you back. Had your mom here. Welcome back to Life Today.
Oh, thank you so much. It's such an honor. We appreciate what you guys do. More importantly, who you are and the love you have for Jesus and for people. And thank you for letting us come hang out for a little bit.
Well, let me just tell you, this, folks, look, I don't have anybody on that writes bad books. This is a phenomenal book. I mean, you know, the greatest need right now for families is men to be leaders. Mm-hmm. It could be as great a need as we have in the country and in the world for men to lead, not boss, lead, inspire. Get God's loving arms around the family. And Tim Tebow has got that kind of family. He's that kind of man. He's met a wonderful woman and married, and I'm just going to look forward to what God's going to do with him. Now, when he's talking about mission possible, I want to say this, Tim, and I hope it comes through. The disciples didn't understand that there's a kingdom to come, but there's a kingdom that's at hand. And that kingdom is in us. And we have been left here not to get out of here, but to get Him in here in the fullness of His power, grace, and glory. And that means that we make a kingdom impact on God's planet, planet Earth. Heaven and earth is the Lord's. We have given the oversight of God's planet and His garden to the deceiver, the father of lies, the divider, the destroyer. And we need to somehow take it back. And we do that when we lose our life to find it fully and fruitfully in His kingdom purpose. That's what this book is about. And I will simply say this to you. I want to sow this thought. I'm 78 years old, this year 60 years in public ministry. I am more excited about Jesus and His kingdom purpose than I've ever been in all of my life. 60 years of public ministry. Now listen to what I'm captured by. Betty and I have 25 grandchildren, 11 grand, 14 greats, and a whole bunch more, I'm sure, on the way. Now, this is a guy that's the product
Let's
of a
go.
Rape.
Come on.
Yeah, my mother was raped at age 40 and tried to have me aborted, but life is precious and has potential, and the doctor wouldn't do it. So God has done something with a fatherless kid by letting me know the father, and we lost our life in His kingdom purpose without understanding it fully. But here's what's grabbed me recently, and you're going to love this. I have found the greatest desire in my life is to fulfill our Father's desire. He has dreams. He has desires. And the only way His dream is fulfilled is through His family and through His body that the gates of hell cannot prevail against. It's the body of Christ. It's the church. It's the believers. This book is every single chapter about losing our life in His kingdom purpose to find it. And Tim, you are chosen to lead us and to help lead men, to lead their families to fulfill the Father's dream and Father's desire. Does that make sense to you?
Absolutely, yes, sir. And you know, for some reason, the Bible calls us co-laborers, and it is to fulfill the Father's will, right? Even Jesus in the garden said, not my will, but your will be done, you know? And I just think in God's economy, it's so much different than our economy. How is it greater to give than it is to receive? How is it more blessed to give than it is to receive? Well, in God's economy, when we actually give, we're actually getting more, but not in material stuff, in peace, in patience, in love, in kindness, and all of these other things, in fulfillment. And you know why I wanted to write Mission Possible was mission. When you know you have a mission, you know you have purpose. And when you know that it's possible, that you truly can have a life that counts, it's encouraging. And I feel like today people need to be encouraged to live out their mission. Because when you look at statistics, you see that a third of people say they're lonely most of the time or all the time. 12% of our daily thoughts are spent in some form of comparison. Like in 2020 alone, 10 to 24-year-olds, there was over 6,600 suicides, right? So obviously something we're telling them, something we're teaching is missing the mark. And I don't think it's just that they need necessarily more friends, although I think community is important. It's not that they need more schooling, although I think education is important. It's that people need purpose, and purpose comes from God. It comes from the purpose giver, and every single person has it. When you know you have a mission, you know you have purpose. And when you know that it's possible because of what Jesus did on the cross for us, then you know you can live it out with encouragement. And so I want people to know that, okay, it's not possible for you to necessarily beat LeBron James at basketball, but it is possible for you to live out the good works that God talks about in Ephesians 2:10. Before we were ever born, he wrote them about your life, and we get to live out that Mission Possible life.
Amen. You know, Betty, you got up early this morning, and she literally went over a summary of every single chapter. And so when I walk in, because we'd just gotten the book, I mean, this is like just, you know, really out. And she, why were you so excited about it?
Well, because just like you said, it shows you the book. You could just read the chapters and God would grab the heart of anybody that just looked at the chapters. They'd have to go back and say, oh, I got to read about that. Because it relates to the average Christian that thinks that they really don't have a purpose. You know, they've kind of lost that purpose. It's more mission impossible to them. And I agree with you. God has a purpose for every one of us. And when we realize that, there is no limits to what God can do with our life. Right where we are, we don't have to be in a public format. We don't have to be on a platform. Just be prepared in our hearts, and God will show us the way.
I totally agree with you. So many times we just feel like, you know, we're not equipped. And I don't think God is looking for perfect people. I believe that he's looking for willing people.
Yes.
There was only one perfect person, and that was Jesus on the cross. We're never going to be perfect, but I don't think that God's looking for perfect. Look at the heroes of the Bible. None of them were perfect. But what did they have in common? They were willing. They were willing to put it on line for Jesus. They were willing to accept their mission. They were willing to go. And I think we have to be willing. And I believe God can use us wherever we are, with whatever we have, with wherever he's placed us.
Right. Well, you know, you have, your parents love Jesus. I know your dad's fighting Parkinson's. We love your old family. Your mom was here. I want to ask you, what moved you to write this particular book about Mission Possible? And I think you agree we're here to fulfill his kingdom purpose. And I think you agree that it wasn't a futile or feeble or foolish prayer to acknowledge thy kingdom come. And he said it has, it's at hand. And now he said it's in you. And to then pray the next phrase, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That means that's important. It means it's possible. And we ought to be living to see his will done on his earth. You must believe that's possible. Do you believe it's possible for God's will to be done on his planet?
Well, I believe that God wants to use us. I believe that for some reason in his master plan, God wants to use us in his story of humanity. And I'm so grateful that we get a chance to be part of that. And I want to be part of that. But I think that it's also so important that we look at, you know, I was just reading Hebrews last night, and we're talking about, and the author of Hebrews is talking about, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, despised the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. You know what? For us to live out our mission, we're going to have to endure as well. But you know what? We need to take the same approach Jesus did for the joy set before him. What was the joy set before Jesus? In my opinion, it was rescuing us with his dad. It was saving us. It was rescuing us from our sin, making us right with his father. And I think in our same way is we need to have the joy set before us. What's the joy set before us? Getting to heaven and hearing, well done, my good and faithful servant, is being able to tell the good news of Jesus Christ to every single person we can, is to being able to to get to as many people as possible that are hurting around the world. Like Jesus says to the expert of the law after the good story of the Good Samaritan, he says, go and do the same. And it's imperative in the Greek. It's a command. We have to go and do the same. That's a command to me. It's a command to us and to rescue and to love and to care for. And you know what? I don't know how God's going to work all things together for good, but we can trust that he will, because he's a God that loves us enough to send his son. He's a God that's in control of everything. He's a God that defeated death, that defeated sin, that defeated hell, and we can trust him. I don't know how it's all going to work out, but I can trust the one, because I know he's going to work it all out.
Don't you believe that if we really lose our life in his will, it can change marriage relationships, families, communities, cities, counties, states, and we can actually impact nations. The discipling effect impacts nations. I have watched you now from the time you were playing for Florida and won the Heisman. How many years back is that now? How many years back is that?
That was 2007.
Okay, so we're at least 15 years that you've journeyed. Now, I've watched you from the time you wore the scriptures under your eyes. You never apologized, and you were so blessed. But your journey, even in sports, as you share so clearly, has had many setbacks. And they're not, to say they weren't disappointments would be a misrepresentation. They were disappointments. Am I right about that?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But God gave you grace to handle them and keep lifting him up. I have seen your faith unshakable. That doesn't mean that you weren't puzzled or disappointed or even hurt. And you let us know we can go through that. But Tim, I've watched you. You've not only held on to God, he's held on to you. And you have held him up so high. That's why I'm praying, God, I want every man, and frankly, Betty, I think every woman, to read this book. Yes. I think it will inspire them to lose their life in a possible mission. That's seeing his will done on earth through every one of us that will put him first and lose our life in his kingdom purpose. That's the mission. That's the purpose. And I just got to say to you, for 15 years, very visibly and very publicly, I've watched you be so mistreated, so spoken against, and I know it hurt. I mean, I could tell it hurt. I know you were disappointed. I know you were broken. I mean, sometimes probably confused. God, what about this? But Tim, I have seen Jesus hold you up, and you hold him up, and it's been a supernatural journey through incredible challenges and through, for you, dark, difficult valleys. The shepherd has been there. I mean, he's prepared a table before you in the presence of accusers. He's anointed your head and your life with the anointing of his power and his presence. Hasn't that been a real experience for you, even with the pains? And aren't you trying to tell people, no matter what you've gone through, he's with you. He'll never leave you. He'll never let go of you. He'll
be
disappointed with you, but not so disappointed in you. He wants to help you. And that's what you're showing people. And I feel like you're excited about it.
Well, you know what, Mr. Robinson, is I was playing for the Jaguars, and I got cut and was really disappointed by it. And I just thought, honestly, I thought leading into it, I prayed so hard, prayed so much, and I thought, you know what? And I talked to a lot of pastors, and a lot of pastors said, God's opening the door. This is exciting. You know, go, go, go. And I thought, man, this is going to be great. And then I get cut, and I was just so disappointed. Just remember going home, and my wife so encouraging. But I was upset. I was bitter. I was disappointed. I was all these things. And that same day that I got cut, all the stuff started to unravel in Afghanistan. And so our team from the foundation starts calling, and we start getting on calls and talking about how we can help. What are we doing? Our team there in different places. And so within a few hours, I'm on a plane to the Middle East, and then we're serving in different places and helping and being able to do all these different things in a really terrible, tragic situation. And it was flying from one country in the Middle East to another country in the Middle East after we were able to serve thousands of lives and try to help in a bunch of different ways, where it was the first time in a while that I could say to God, honestly, God, thank you for letting me be cut. Because if I hadn't been cut, or I wasn't playing on the team, I wouldn't have been in a situation to go and minister to those places. And you know what? I viewed it as a setback, but really it was just God setting me up for what he really wanted me to do. Because if I wasn't playing football, I would have already had events and engagements, and I wouldn't have even had the free time to be able to. And I know that. I know that's the reality of setting a schedule and having and planning things in advance. It would have been planned. So God had everything planned just in advance for me to get cut so I could be free to go to the Middle East to serve and to help in a time when no one knew that was going to happen. No one knew that crisis was going to take place. But God had what, in my opinion, at first was a setback. But God said, no, this is actually a setup for really what you're called to do, which is to love who I love. And so much of my life, I've been trying to win games or be the MVP or be the, you know, be on the best team. And really where my life has drastically changed is when God said, I don't want you to be the MVP. Sure, in games, you can strive for it. But he wants me to strive for a different MVP, not most valuable player, but to love the most vulnerable people. Because there's one MVP, and he died on the cross, and he has asked us to love his MVPs, which are the most vulnerable people. And, you know, I was just on that trip, I was just reminded it is not about games and championships and trophies. It is about the people that we get to serve, because that's who Jesus died for, and we need to go show them how much we love them as well.
I want to look at right into our television audience viewers, and I know you're watching, Tim, but I want all of you to know, and Tim, you'll love this. We've been showing our viewers who never got to win the Heisman or an MVP of anything. Many of them never, well, they were like me when I didn't have a home. I moved 17 times in 10 years, and I was a good athlete, but they didn't know me. I never got picked. I walked off not getting picked. Well, that's heavy, but a lot of people feel like they never got picked. But you know what they found out watching Life Today? They find out they themselves can be someone's miracle. They can be an answer to someone's prayers. And that has excited them beyond words. If you want your prayers answered, seek to be an answer to someone's prayers. How about becoming a miracle in somebody's life today? And Tim, we're reaching out into situations like Afghanistan all over the world and seeing the least of these, the most overlooked people. And our ministry's been doing that now steady for 30 years. And our donor base, they have the excitement that you're talking about. Our viewers have found the fullness of life by bearing the fruit of God's love to the most overlooked people, the least of these, the unnoticed, and putting God's loving arms around them. And the joy that fills their heart causes them to say, whatever I do, I'm going to pray for the least of these, but I'm going to be the miracle their parents of these starving children or thirsty children or sick children are praying for. We can be the miracle. We can be the answer to those prayers. And that's precisely what you're talking about. And you found this is more important than MVP or Heisman or any accomplishment in the sports world. This is the world God wants us to fix our eyes on. That doesn't mean things may not change even in that world for you. But you have found the center of God's will and His purpose. And that's why I want everyone to read this book. As a matter of fact, Tim, when people help us feed the starving right now, there's a 40-year drought in Angola that's the worst in history, and children are dying, but we can save their lives with just a meal. And everyone that helps us, we're going to send them the book. I want you to pray about going online and getting it for a friend. Tim, I'm going to let everybody see right now the children and the people we're helping in Angola, and I want you just to look at this, and then here's what I'm asking you to do. Tim Tebow is becoming a miracle in people's lives. He talked about a very specific place. His family's done that as missionaries all their life. I want you to look at the situation right now. And then I want you to be the arms of God, of Jesus. And I want you to be the miracle they long for and be the answer to prayers. I think you're going to be excited to do it. Watch closely.
Angola is suffering the worst drought in 40 years. Without rainfall, the land is struggling. Without rainfall, the crops are failing. And without rainfall, the families are suffering. This is causing precious families to endure malnutrition and even death.
Mothers that we speak to in clinics that are totally overfilled with children, malnutrition clinics where those children are literally fighting for their lives each and every day. And in the villages, we encounter mothers and they tell us stories, heartbreaking stories, of how they literally have no food.
Vim a correr se vai poder só me ajudar. Bastante eu dormi a fome, penso mais daquele caminho que eu passei. Na mesma eu penso que vou perder mais de novo a criança.
Rita's story is the story of pain, of tragedy, because of one thing, a lack of food. She said, some days we eat once a day, other times we don't eat at all. And on the days we don't eat, I say to the children, just pray and sleep. Pray that God will send somebody to help us. Pray that God will provide. Please help us today. Help us today to extend that hand of help to Rita, to Rosa, to the mothers and the children that they represent in these villages that so desperately need our help.
30 years ago, Betty and I marched into hell. Death, starvation, malnutrition everywhere, contaminated water, and we marched in for a heavenly cause. We didn't know how serious it'd be. We didn't know if anybody would help. But Betty, now please listen to me. I want this to hit home. When we saw those little children, many of them in refugee areas where they came just wishing somebody would help them. They were pressed out of their areas of starvation. In Mozambique, they were pressed out because of Marxism. Communism had taken over the country. It was a death place. Very dangerous. People were fighting outside our room where we were in old refurbished hotels. And they're fighting with the automatic weapons in the street below us. And people were being killed everywhere. And there we said, God, we see the need, but will anybody meet it? And here's what I want you to hear. Now think about this. 18 million little children's and family members' lives saved because Betty's somebody watching Life Today said, I'll help those. I'll help three. I'll help five. I can help 10 because literally, we told them that with special prepared nutritious porridge type soup mix that has the exact nutritional ingredients necessary for that area, that situation. And by the way, you built several food factories. The UN wanted us to prepare the food. We couldn't do it. We could barely keep up with what we're doing. And you made that possible. But 18 million lives saved, one at a time. Like, you remember the mothers that would hold these little children. Many of them, their children were starving because the mother was so malnourished, she had no milk to give her children. In one life at a time, our viewers started saying, I'll take them. They said, Betty, I'll take three. I'll take five. I'll take 10. $30, $50, $100. This is no exaggeration. This is not total child care. This is saving lives, but giving them a future. And then we train them how to build a future. And then we begin feeding them in school to keep them coming because they have nothing. And you've touched nations. You've changed nations. You changed Mozambique with love. And there's no question the mission outreach did that. There is no question about it. It was a miracle of love, one life at a time. So when we say to you, and Betty, we ask our viewers, will you do it? They saved 18 million lives already. And right now we've got this horrible drought and we've got problems all over the third world. But would you give $30, $50, or $100 to save three, five, or 10 children? Could you give $1,000 and save 100 lives? Father, please, today, we have some beautiful gifts to give people to say thank you, but they're giving the gift of life. Betty, let's just pray that every person watching will help. Will you do it? Would you please right now, would you go get your bank card and use it like a check? Dial the number on the screen or go online. And if you could help us save 10 lives with a gift of $100, please do it. If you could do more, I believe you will. But listen, three is huge. It saves three lives. Please do what God leads you to do. Please.
Across the continent of Africa, children are suffering, facing severe malnutrition and even death. With food reserves gone and many areas experiencing severe famine, we urgently need to replenish supplies to keep feeding the 350,000 children who are counting on us. Through Life's Mission Feeding Outreach, your gift of love can be an answer to prayer for a hurting and hungry child in their time of need. Call now with your life-saving gift of $30, $50, or $100 to help feed and care for 3, 5, or 10 children for 3 full months. With your gift of any amount, we'll send you 365 days of courage. Filled with scriptures and words of encouragement, this daily devotional will give you the confidence that comes from knowing how God sees you. Take courage in Christ's love and be ready to conquer each day. With your gift of $100 or more, please request the Blessing Framed Art. This beautiful wall art will grace your home or office and serve as a daily reminder of God's blessing and kindness over your family. Finally, with your gift of $1,000 or more to help feed and care for 100 children, be sure to request our inspiring bronze sculpture, Consider the Birds, inspired by Jesus' words in Matthew 6:26. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
James, Betty, I know that you have seen the children like Rosa, that you've spoken to the mothers like Rita, Betty. I know it breaks your heart when you speak to these mothers. And I'm asking you today on behalf of Rita that you would speak to the Friends of Life and you would ask them to give an extra special gift. We're experiencing the worst drought that we have ever experienced in the last 40 years here in Angola. That is why mothers like Rita and children like Rosa are suffering like they are. You can be an answer to Rita's prayer today. If you'll say yes, dial the number on your screen or get online and give the very best gift that you can give today. Give the gift of food. Give the gift of life.
Well, Tim, you blessed us, and I am looking forward to sending your book to everybody that puts God's loving arms around those children that so desperately need love. And we're going to be praying for you, so let's stay in touch, and let's keep inspiring people to fulfill His kingdom purpose, because you find life when you lose it in His kingdom purpose. Thank you for being such an inspiration.
Thank you, guys. God bless y'all, and thank you for your marriage, your faithfulness, and for loving Jesus so well.
Yeah, and thank all of you for watching. Thanks for sharing life today. Thanks for being such a tremendous blessing. Do keep praying for Tim, and if you're impressed to help him, well, do so, because I know you're going to be lifting him up. Thank you for lifting up the broken, the starving, the hungry, and the hurting. You are such a blessing to so many. Thank you.
Ever feel like old habits die hard? Tomorrow, Deborah Falada helps us identify signals that God uses to reset our lives. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.